Turn your Bibles to John 10 and verse 10. I know it's a scripture, the passage of scripture that you're all very, very familiar with. Today, I've got a lot of scripture to share, and we've got quite a bit of ways, area to cover today. So we're not going to go to all the scriptures that I'm going to share. I'll refer to them, and I know that the guys will put that up on the overhead so you can see that as we go through it, but you could also be able to write it down if you want to look at it at a later time. The sermon title today is the Delivery System Part 2. We talked about the delivery system and Satan's temptation and how he delivers that temptation to us last week. And today is going to be Part 2, and it's going to be the Advocate. So I want to talk a little bit about that today. I started out yesterday, and I started last night, and started writing all kinds of notes, and whatever I did, it sounded all right and it sounded really good, but it was going to be so lengthy we would be here till 3 o'clock this afternoon, and I didn't think anybody wanted to do that, so I got up at 4 this morning to rewrite this sermon. And it's always amazing, in God's timing is perfect timing, amen? So when he does something, it's the perfect timing. So he brought it together, and I think he brought it together in a way that you will be blessed today. But in John chapter 10 and verse 10, John 10, I better get to the right scripture. John 10 and verse 10, and I know so many of you know it by heart, but it's also good to look at the scripture as well. But in John 10:10, it says, "A thief does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy." And we know who the thief is. It's the adversary. "But I have come," the Lord Jesus says, "I have come that you might have life and that you may have it more abundantly." As a Christian today, you have been called out of the world of darkness to this marvelous light in the Lord Jesus. Satan has lost you. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, he has lost you. He no longer has power over you, but you have power over him. So since he has lost you to Christ, what his goal now is to ruin your testimony, or to make you think that he has ruined your testimony. So in John 8:44, it says that he is a liar, that Satan is a liar, and that he is the father of all lies. If he can get you to believe his lie that you ruined your testimony, then he may have lost you to Christ, but in your witness to others, he will make you non or ineffective. Because he will make you feel unworthy to witness, unworthy to share your faith with other people. Satan is the enemy. He can't kill you, but oh my, he can really wound us. And when he wounds us, he's wounding Christians so we won't tell other people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan loves to wound you and more and make you think that he didn't do it. If he can wound you in the church, that's a bonus points to him, because others will be wounded because of it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, it says, "We are not ignorant of his devices." We know the things that he tries to pull. In Ephesians 6:12, it says that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principality, against powers, against rulers of darkness. So we must always know who the source is. If we're going to pin the tail on the donkey, we need to know where the donkey is, and we need to know who the donkey is. If somebody is bringing something against you, it's not necessarily that person, but the one that is behind it. The one that is behind the scene is Satan, because he is the one trying to wound you through that. We may not say that we must never say that we are tempted of God. Turn with me to James chapter 1. James chapter 1 verse 12. So in James chapter 1 and verse 12, "Blessed is a man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted by God.' For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one of us is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren." Verse 17, "Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with which whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." So we must never say that we've been tempted by God, because God is not the source of that. Satan is the tempter. He is the accuser of the brethren. So anything that you face in life that will hurt your faith, damage your testimony, stop your witness, ultimately flesh and blood is not the underlying culprit. Satan is the underlying culprit. But as in our message last week, he uses different delivery systems to bring that to our face or bring that to our life. To deliver that temptation to the front door of your faith, it's always in the form of temptation. It's always in the form of temptation. A temptation to cause you to take a step back from your relationship that you have with your Heavenly Father. In any temptation, a response is required. Now think about that just for a moment. Any time that you are tempted, a response is required to that temptation. You will respond with, even if you don't want to respond, but you will respond. So what do we know at this point from the scriptures? Number one, Satan is a liar. Number two, he wants to damage my witness. Number three, he will do that through temptation. And number four, he will use different delivery systems to bring it to me, to bring it to my life, to make you think the power of darkness had nothing to do with it. Let's look again at Peter's temptation. Turn with me to Luke chapter 22. It's where we were at last week. So Luke chapter 22. In Luke chapter 22, we go to verse 31. Luke 22, verse 31. And it says, "And the Lord said to Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail, and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. But he said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. And then he said to him, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you deny me three times that you know me." Peter's temptation is to do what? To deny Jesus. Think about it. Every temptation you face is about you denying Jesus. Denying him in your walk. Denying him in your thoughts. Denying him in your actions. You're denying God through that. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. These three are one. When you deny Christ, you're denying God. When you deny God, you're denying Christ. We deny Christ by our thoughts and our actions. Remember, temptation always demands a response. Guys, if you have a temptation of a young lady that is very pretty, it demands a response. How do you respond in your mind, in your thought life? What actions do you take in your life? If somebody speaks negatively to you, it demands a response. How are you going to respond to that? Are you going to recognize that that person's a jerk, or are you going to recognize that the ultimate one that is behind that is the accuser because he's wanting to hurt your witness? He's wanting to hurt your testimony. Adam and Eve's response, they denied God. Jesus' response, Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. Jesus followed God. He would not deny God, but he rebuked Satan. Think about it. In your last temptation you faced, did Satan come to the front door or the back door of your faith? Did he come to the front door? "Hey, buddy, I want to talk to you, and I want to talk to you about this temptation you're going to face because I'm going to use it to drag your witness down. I'm going to use it to drag your testimony down." He doesn't work that way, does he? Because he's a liar. He's the father of all lies. He's a deceiver. Satan loves to use the back door. That way you don't think he's anywhere around. Who or what was the delivery system, and what was your response? Remember in school when you used to diagram sentences? I didn't do very good. And you'd do the noun and the verb and the adjective and the pronoun and all these different things. And it makes me think of Jennifer, because many times Carol will help me with my studies on Wednesday, and she will help me with the Bible study on Sunday because my time is limited. And then when she does them, I read them over, and I'll write sometimes additional scriptures down. But I said one day when we were in Bible study on Wednesday, I said, "Well, Carol's note, it says this." And Jennifer goes, "Pastor, do your own work." I mean, the teacher was coming out all over her. So when we go back to diagram and sentences, I wasn't honest then either, okay? Think about temptation. You can always diagram it. The tempter, the temptation, the delivery system, and the response. You can always diagram every temptation that you've ever faced. The tempter is automatically, we know who the tempter is. It's Satan. Whatever that temptation is, what is the delivery system that was brought to your attention, and what was your response through that temptation? Now, in Luke chapter 22, verse 31 through 34, we'll read it again. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail, and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Listen, the tempter is Satan. The tempter is always Satan. The delivery system is not the tempter. He doesn't do it that way. So let's diagram Peter's temptation. The tempter was Satan. The temptation was to deny Christ. The delivery system. Was there a delivery system that delivered this message to Peter so he could be tempted? Oh, yes, he did. Now remember, the one that is doing the tempting is Satan. God has already told us, the Lord Jesus has already told us, Peter, he is going to sift you as wheat. All things work together for good. So when we say that we want to take the chaff out of a person's life, you know what, Satan? He wants to point out the chaff. He wants to show you what you have done wrong. He wants to show you the mistakes you've made in your life. He's a master of the instant replay. But God works together for good. He wants to use that to bring out the good in your life, to bring out your strength that you have in Him. So we see here that there is a delivery system in Peter's life. It's not Satan that delivers the message. Turn with me to Luke 22, verse 54. We looked at it last week. Having arrested him, they led him and brought him into the high priest's home, but Peter followed at a distance. Now when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down, Peter sat among them. And a certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, "This man was also with him." She was the delivery system. It doesn't mean that she was a vessel for Satan. Now, some people are vessels for Satan. You ever had a family member that was a vessel for Satan? I mean, they wanted to come and bring it right into your forehead of what you were, what you've done wrong, and all the other things about your life, and you have to need to know in your life that the accuser, the Satan, is the one that is behind all of that. Some people are vessels. Some people are willing vessels. Some people don't know that they're bringing that temptation to you. These individuals here didn't know it. And a certain servant girl, verse 56, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, "This man was also with him." She didn't know, but she knew he was there. But look what the response was in verse 57. But he denied him, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." Boom. Temptation demands a response. And that was Peter's response. Verse 58. And after a little while, another saw him and said, "You are of them." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." Verse 59, then after about an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, "Surely this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean." But Peter said to him, "Man, I do not know what you're saying." Immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed, and I just can't hardly ever read this without tears. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." So Peter went out and wept bitterly. So the tempter is Satan. The temptation is to deny Jesus. The delivery system were these individuals that said that you were there. The response for Peter was the denial of Jesus. You ever had a failing in your life? Well, you're not the only one. You ever made a mistake in your life? Well, you're not the only one. Did Satan use the front door or the back door of Peter's faith? Even though Satan used other people to deliver it, I would say, because Jesus warned him that it was coming, that he used the front door. As a review, the delivery system is how Satan delivers the temptation to you. He will use church members. He will use family members. He will use friends. He will even use inanimate objects to bring temptation before you. People can be willing vessels for the adversary, not knowing what they are doing, but other people can be very willing in their temptation or what they're bringing to you. The temptation is always to deny Christ. Now think about that just for a moment. When you got so mad at that fellow worker, you ever work with a fellow worker that was a jerk? Nobody in this church ever has, have you? The temptation is not flesh and blood, was it? They are the delivery system. What is your response? To curse? To strike out? To strike out in anger? It all comes back down to in your walk for the Lord Jesus, when Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Stephen said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We need to be quicker to say, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Because I know who the tempter is. The tempter in this situation is not that co-worker that is a jerk, and he may really be a jerk, but he's not the tempter. Satan is the tempter. The temptation is always to deny Jesus in your thoughts, your actions, in other words, your response. Go home today and diagram Job's temptation. List all the things that he used. Now think about it for Job. The delivering system in Job's life to deliver temptation was his wife, was weather, was enemies, was friends, and was his health. Anybody that's ever had in this room, that's ever been sick, ever had an injury, ever had a disease, ever needed an operation, that delivery system's right there. Are you going to deny Christ through that? Or are you going to say, Father, I thank you, because I know you're going to be with me. I know that you're going to walk with me. Amen. Or is it the fact that your response is, God, why are you doing this? What do you think that you're doing? What is your response through that? You say, well, how can weather be an indicator? How can it be the delivery system? We're coming up on winter. How many people get discouraged in the wintertime? How many people are thinking about all the light that we're not going to have? How much quicker that it gets dark? We're already setting ourselves up for the adversary to bring a really dark day, so you'll be really gloomy. Think about what he does to bring that to our attention. When we diagram Peter's temptation at the end, we would have to put a stamp on it and say, failed. He fell. In that temptation, he denied Jesus. Peter was warned. Saint, I'm warning you today. I'm warning myself today. You will be tempted, you will be tested, and you will be tried because Satan wants to sift you because you are a child of God. But all things work together for good, as we said in Romans 8:28. To purify your faith, always working to transform you into the image of Jesus. Another thing I will tell you, you will fail just like Peter from time to time. Now this is where it really gets good. You will fail, but you have an advocate with the Father. In Luke chapter 22, if you notice there in verse 32, it says, "But I have prayed for you." Jesus says, I have prayed for you. He's our intercessor. He's our great high priest. He is our advocate. When we fail, we can seek forgiveness. Every time that we have a failing in our life, it's not the end of the game. We get stronger with every failing that we have. When you look at Luke chapter 22 and verse 60 and 62, Luke 22 verse 60, "But Peter, man, said, I do not know what you are saying." Immediately while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." So Peter went out and wept bitterly. I want you to remember that about this person, that Peter failed. Can you imagine when Jesus looked upon Peter right before that rooster crowed, and that all brought that memory back to Peter, that he had been warned that he was going to be tempted, and he failed his Lord and his Master because he loved Jesus with everything that was in him, but he failed him. And he went out here, we see that he wept bitterly. Now turn with me to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, we go to verse 36. In Acts chapter 2, verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucify, both Lord and Savior. This is Peter's sermon. For when they heard this, they were all cut to their heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is to you and to your children, to all that who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Verse 40, and with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. That day there were about 3,000 souls were added to them, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. And then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles by somebody that failed Jesus. By somebody that made a mistake. By somebody that fell in temptation. Jesus told him that he was going to be tempted. And remember when we said that last week, when we said when that word you was said, that he is going to tempt you? It's plural, meaning he wanted to tempt all the disciples to fall away from Jesus, preparing him for what he was going to face. But at the same time, God was going to use this to clean his life and to purify his life, to make him stronger. So we asked, did it work? And the answer is yes. In the sifting process, God will bring out the good. Satan wants to always reveal the chaff. Think of it as being in a court of law. And Satan is the prosecuting attorney. God is the judge. The advocate or the defense attorney is the Lord Jesus himself. Satan reveals the chaff. He produces all the evidence that he has. Your Honor, this person, they have done this. They've been involved in a divorce. They were involved in a divorce again. This person used drugs. This person used alcohol. This person did all these unseemly things in this world. And I charge them with being guilty. And the judge of the universe says, for the advocate, for this one that has been charged, the defense attorney, I see all these papers that Satan has brought, but there's nothing on them. There's not one thing. These sheets are white. What do you have to say in defense of this person? I stand for this person because it is under the blood. All is forgiven. And the judge says, case dismissed. In your life, the case has been dismissed. And when you make a mistake, you go back to the advocate, the Father, and you ask him, Father, forgive me, and then you get right back up and you start walking for the Lord again. And the Lord, through that process, is going to strengthen you, and he's going to refine you as fire, like a refiner's fire. Satan wants to, for you to throw the chaff in your face. In the old days, they would take a pitchfork or a winnowing fork, and they would take the product, whether it was wheat and grain, they'd throw it up in the air. And the chaff, the wind would catch the chaff and blow it away. And all the good grain would fall to the ground, and they would gather up the good grain. Who wants to throw that in your face? Sometimes it'll be a family member who'll throw it in your face. Sometimes it's a friend that will throw that chaff in your face, but remember that it's always Satan is the one that's throwing the chaff. He's wanting to point out every mistake, every wrong, everything that you've ever done in your whole entire life, and he wants to do it all the time. We must renounce him because we are a child of God. Our sins are forgiven, that we are sealed for the day of redemption. Brother and sister, we are on our way to heaven. The greatest treasure that you have is the Lord Jesus Christ who lives within your life. Amen? Father, we just rejoice in this service today. We pray that, Father, your hand would be upon each and every one of our lives. You would walk before all of us. Father, you revealed in this service today how much you truly love each and every one of us because you care for us as individuals. I pray that, Lord, you would open the windows of heaven and you would pour it out upon this congregation, upon these families. Father, they love you. They want to serve you. They worship you. And I pray, Father, that you would bless them, not only today, but the days to come. And we ask it all today. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said,
Amen.
You are dismissed.